Well, today I've got some news stories that make you wonder, how did we get this far and survive?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, I've been looking at several news stories I've got in front of me. Some I'm not sure too much of I want to share them yet. They may need a little bit more vetting. And other stories just kind of remind me of how far we have declined as a people. With all the technology that we have been able to develop over the past 150 years, and in particular the past 50 years, I'll give an example. If you go back just 50 or 60 years ago, when computers used to use punch cards, which is something that the younger people in the audience have no clue of what I'm talking about. These were literally like an index card, maybe about 8 inches by 3 inches, with holes punched in them for data. 5 megabytes of data, which is nothing today. 5 megabytes of data would take thousands of those cards and hours to insert into the computer to be read. That was computers. Back in the day, one of the world's first large computers built in the late 1940s was enormous, consumed tremendous amounts of electricity, and as the inventor and company that owned it, IBM, once said, there's no future for people to have computers, they're just too cumbersome and expensive. But look what happened in just a short amount of time. Computers now are, well, they're just a fact of life. They're part of what we do each and every day. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are connected, even if we think we're not. And very few of us are truly not connected. Somehow we are. If you have a bank account, you are connected. If you have a computer, a tablet, a smartphone, a smart TV set, you are connected. And there's almost no way of escaping it as much as we'd like to. What I've learned to do is just be careful and cautious what I expose to the public, what data I allow to be shared. I actually spend time looking at what they call the privacy settings on a lot of the things that I get involved with. And I start clicking things that say, do not share, do not this, do not the other. Now, there's no guarantee, but still, you'd be surprised on how much data you are willingly giving up to get something for free. How many of you have a Gmail account? It's free, isn't it? You know, you want to know why? Because when you signed up for Gmail, you allowed Gmail to read your mail. And they can target by keywords advertising to you when you are browsing using their Chrome browser or using their Google search page. You may not have realized you did that. Google Docs, hey, it's free. You ever wonder how a company can be worth literally mega billions of dollars, if not a trillion by now, by giving away stuff for free? How do they make all this money if everything's free? And we have a whole generation of people that just can't connect the dots on why this stuff is free. There's a reason. They're selling your data. They are. If you have a smartphone, and if it's an Android, Google is collecting, where have you traveled today? They know every place you've been and how long you've been there. The data is out there. The same is true with the iPhone. And they can determine that, hey, you know, you were at this grocery store for an hour and 14 minutes today, and then you went to this other store, and then you were over at a church. They know where you've been. And a lot of people don't get it. One of the only good things is there's just so much data out there. How do you digest it? How do you distill it? And how do you decide which data, well, the globalists need to be paying attention to, if that makes any sense to you? So today I just want to share some news stories Some are political, some are dealing with social issues, and yeah, there are some that are dealing with things that I believe are more important than politics. And we'll get to those in the program too. And toward the end of the program today, I'll be welcoming a good friend to help me out. And like I say, this is a really busy time. We're in the process of building the radio station here in Southwest Virginia. And it does take a lot of my time to go through music. So I'm trying to, any opportunity to get a little bit of help, I'm taking it. So just so you understand. I'm going to start with one story that I'm a little bit hesitant, and I'm going to do some vetting on this. But in a way, it doesn't surprise me, and it could have truth. The source that I'm getting this from is from a Substack that I read on a fairly regular basis. And surprisingly, it and a couple of others that have stories of this nature have generally proven over time to have a strong element of truth and accuracy. Sometimes they get a few of the details wrong early on, but over time, well, they're proven to be right. And these are stories that I can guarantee you MSNBC and CBS and ABC will never tell you, because it would go so against their predetermined narrative, it would destroy them to share it. There is an individual, actually I think there may be more than one, but we'll just talk about the one. There is a bit of a breaking story that some of you may have heard about. And this involves the current governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, his wife, Gwen, and of course he's the vice presidential nominee for the Democrat ticket. There's a letter that was sent out by a self-described victim of, shall we say, indiscretions by Democrat vice presidential candidate Tim Walz during the time that Walz was a high school teacher in Nebraska. And I've been reading this. And either this person has really made up the greatest story on earth and will be destroyed if it's not true, or after the election, the story will come out, and at that point, they'll deal with it later. Now, this supposedly happened at a public high school in the community called Alliance, Nebraska, where, by the way, Tim Walz met and married his wife, Gwen. And somebody pointed out, when you think about Walz, who's running for vice president, there are a couple of strange parallels, believe it or not, between Tim Walz and his wife and, believe it or not, Mike Pence, who was a vice president, and his wife. They were both Midwestern politicians, even though from opposite sides of the political spectrum, allegedly. Each rose to become the governors of their states, with Pence later becoming vice president of the United States, and now Walz seeking to do the same himself. And Tim Walz and his wife, Gwen, Karen Pence, is also a former school teacher, but the commonalities don't stop there. A lot of people have speculated, and I've thought about this myself, just by certain activities and things said over the past several years, that both Pence and Walz have something in common, that they are deep state controlled. Let me say that again, deep staters. To me, Mike Pence knows, and I've said this before when it comes to what I call the loyal opposition. There's so many of these fake conservatives out there. They know exactly what words to say, what things to do, what actions to take to just give you the, make you just want to, ooh, isn't he a wonderful person? Isn't he a great conservative? They know how to play the game. And many of these conservatives, you know, I think of Mitch McConnell. I think of Lindsey Graham. These guys are frauds. I mean, I'm sorry, but these are not really conservative. They are well-paid, well-cared-for loyal opposition to give you the illusion that we have a two-party system, when in reality there's more uniparty than differentiating between the parties. There are a handful that are, I think, true believers in their party, but there's a lot that once they get to D.C. and they get into that in the Beltway comfort zone, they don't care about politics. They care about the money and the power and the prestige they're going to get and keep. And so we've got these stories out there now that there is something wrong with Tim Walz and young kids. Could it be? I mean, why do we, this is something, and once again, this is purely speculation on my part, but for way too many years, we have been hearing about pedophilia and politicians. And honestly, I've come to the conclusion that this is not all just idle chatter. I'm really beginning to feel deep inside there is a strong element of truth in some of these accusations and some of these suspicions. We've heard about this before. You know, they try to bury Pizzagate. You remember that? Wasn't that long ago? Pizzagate, you know, the pedophilia ring in D.C. among politicians. Who's the person that ended up debunking it for ABC News? Somebody arrested for child porn later. So once again, that tells me something. There are too many of these stories. Some of them may seem a little bizarre, but some of them, the more you think about it and the more you look at the actions of how people respond in public, Joe Biden's a good example, sniffing girls' hair. This current accusation is from somebody that talks about going to an Indigo Girls concert with Tim Walz when this person was a high school student. And also attended a country concert. And he was one of the students that accompanied Walz and others on a trip to China. And this individual makes some very specific allegations and shares information about Tim Walz that, if true, you and I would not know about it. Like where he has scars or a little Chinese symbol tattooed on his body. Time will tell if it's true or not. And is this some kind of an October surprise? Don't know. But somehow it is out there. Of course, the mainstream media will ignore it. Its impact on the election will be virtually zero, if any. But then again, there are too many of these stories that come out, and you begin to take a closer look, not just a passing glance, a closer look at some of these political individuals of both parties, I might add. And man, my suspicion level begins to go up. And so what I'm telling you is I have come to a point in my life, turned 70 yesterday, so I didn't fall off a turnip truck in Long Island or whatever, you know, last week. I have been one of those type that try to find the best in all things. As a general rule, I'm not a negative person, but I'm going to tell you, as I've gotten older, that has began to change. The government I thought I could trust is a government that has proven to be untrustworthy. A government I thought would do the right thing has proven over and over again they generally will do the wrong thing. A government claiming it wants to reform does not. It wants business as usual, and they want to just pull the wool over your eyes. And Eisenhower was correct when he said in January of 1961, beware the military-industrial complex, the globalist, the one-world government types. They will keep ginning up wars all across the planet, and fear to keep the money flow coming their way. And it doesn't matter how many people are injured or killed in the process. It's all about how much wealth they can obtain. So I look at these stories about some of the weirdness among politicians in both parties. And you want to know something? Increasingly, I tend to believe many of them are true. Because we know that people in high places of authorities will willingly and knowingly and happily lie to you with a zero conscience. Look at what happened during COVID. Look at the head of the CDC saying, if you get vaccinated, you're never going to get COVID. You'll be COVID-proof. And now, they knew at the time they said it, it was a lie. How many people's bodies have been destroyed, ruined, damaged? How many people have had terminal cancer? How many people have died unnecessarily or died at a young age? If I have time, I've got a little story about that I might share before the program is over today. But out there is this beginning of a story. And whether the entirety of the story is true or not, I don't know. But I'm just saying these stories are beginning to pop up. And in some places where they pop up, I don't give them a whole lot of credit because those places don't generally vet anything. But in some of the places they're popping up, those places tend to, over time, have proven to be correct on many stories, even though the mainstream media scream loudly for days on end, months, that's disinformation, it's false, it's been debunked. And it turns out it was true after all, when it didn't make any difference anymore. Think of how many stories you were told were disinformation, how many people deplatformed, how many people had their comments suppressed on YouTube or Fascist Book, which is Facebook, or back in the day, Twitter before it was bought by Elon Musk. How many people were censored and deplatformed and shut down? And then you've got people like Gavin Newsom willing to sign a bill that even political satire might be considered hate speech and could put you in a real world of hurt. It's because the globalists want to have 100% control over you. So I look at this story about Tim Walz, and I look at his just bizarre behavior on stage. And I look at the things that come out of his mouth and the things that he believes in. Number one, you know, he earned the name Tampon Tim. Honestly, they try to deny it. They try to debunk it, but they can't do it because it's true. Tim Walz signed several bills as governor of Minnesota. One, indicating that, you know, school districts needed to have tampons in the boys' room. Even young boys, you know, like nine-year-old boys, fourth graders. What does a fourth grader need a tampon dispenser in their bathroom? Abortion. All the way up to birth, and if there's an accident and the child is born alive, well, just let it die. This is the spiritual and morally bankrupt kind of people that are trying to become leaders of this government and big-time players across the globe. And so just by those kind of actions alone, it makes some of these stories about their, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Degenerate lives. Very plausible. Because it takes a degenerate to sign bills like Tim Walz did. It makes it increasingly obvious that these kind of stories might just have some truth. Because you're dealing with reprobate-minded people. You are dealing with delusional people. You are dealing with evil people that'll say and do anything to gain more power. Because that's the satanic thing that they do best. So, I shared this story Time will tell how true it is. But my initial reaction when I first read it was, yeah, it's believable, but do I share it? Now, I didn't read all of this story. There's a lot of accusations in there that I'm not comfortable even mentioning at this point. But everything I read in this very lengthy story and this detailed accounting from a high school student from the 1990s, a lot of it makes sense, and a lot of it, in light of the things that come out of that man's mouth, to me are very believable.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a few stories that I want to share in this segment. Plus, in just a little while, Frank Silvato comes along. Boy, he's got some wonderful political insight you need to hear. But I want to start with this story and then go on to a couple of others. I'm sure a lot of you have already seen this or kind of know about it or have sensed it. There was a headline that says white women are dumping Trump for Harris. Now, in many ways, it does not surprise me. And trust me, I'm not trying to be anti-women here. But there is a significant percentage of women in the United States today that are living under the satanic deception that abortion is healthcare. That abortion is natural, normal, and should be paid for by everybody else. And it should be totally legal all the way up to and maybe even after birth. Because after all, it's my body and I can do with it as I please. The problem they can never see because of the delusion is the body they are killing is not theirs. It's not your property. How many women today would say that they're the property of their parents or grandparents or somebody else? How many of these white women would say that I am a possession of my husband or a possession of my mother? Of course they wouldn't. So the autonomy of the child doesn't make any sense to them. They are literally delusional about it. And so when you think about what the Democrat Party is offering today, they have nothing to run on. They have nothing tangible to run on. I know people that I've known from when I was in high school 50 some odd years ago that will be voting for Kamala Harris. They don't like Trump. And they even live in small town upstate New York, but they are delusional and they think, well, they think the world's a great place right now under this economy. They can't even see. They complain about, well, it's getting expensive. So yeah, Kamala's got a plan. What plan? Whenever she's asked about her plan, there's nothing of any substance there. It's a joke. And one of her greatest catchphrases being, I'm being unburdened by what has been, is actually a quote from Karl Marx. She's a Marxist. She's a liar. And she can be very buffoonish. When asked any kind of a question of substance, she does not have an answer. Yet so many delusional people that just believe that abortion is everything. Transgenderism is everything. Human sexuality is all they're dealing with. Baby killing, human sexuality, and body butchering. That's all they've got. They've got nothing else to run on. Oh, democracy. Yeah, right. They want a one-party system, one-party rule, and you just being a plebe of obedience. And they need your votes to vote them in. There's an old saying I ran into a number of years ago, and it really makes a lot of sense to me today. You can vote in communism, but you have to shoot your way out. Sometimes communism just fails economically and it collapses on itself. But other times, to get out of being under a dictatorship takes a rising up of the people. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is this election. The so-called pundits and experts, if there is such a thing, they're trying to tell us that it's really, really close. Maybe it is. But you know, there is talk among some Democrats, and I want you to understand a danger that a lot of people don't quite connect the dots with. Let's assume that in November that Trump wins. But right now in the House of Representatives, it's a tiny margin of like one person literally holding the balance to a Republican House run by rhinos and has been run by rhinos for ages. Phony, fake, deep state Republicans. What's going to happen if a couple of those seats should shift to the Democrats? And I've looked at the races, and it's a possibility that Trump could technically win the election, but now you would have a Democrat House of Representatives that may decide not to certify the election. And remember, will she then certify the election, Vice President Kamala Harris, based upon the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? by saying that, well, Trump's an insurrectionist. Can you imagine what kind of a mess we're going to have in the United States if by one or two people it becomes a Democrat House run by Hakeem Jeffries, and it's up to him and Kamala Harris to certify the Trump election? I think that we would have open, violent civil war hit this country if that should happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but understand that every vote counts. You can sit there and say, well, Bob, I really don't like either candidate for the president, so I don't think I'm going to go out and vote. You're a moron if you do that. You are a reprobate moron if you don't get your fat fanny off your couch and get out and vote. But Bob, Trump's not a great moral person. Yeah, I've heard the Democrats argue that too. Comes down to this, my friend, and listen to me one more time and get this through your fat skull. Comes down to which candidate will negatively impact your faith, your family, your finances, your future. Which one would have a negative impact? Is Trump threatening your church? No. Is he threatening your finances or your family? No. Your future? No. But Kamala Harris's policies certainly are. Your freedom is at risk. Your family is at risk. Your faith is at risk. Your future and your finances are at risk when you vote in these kind of people. And if you're saying, well, I don't feel I voted because, you know, Trump, he had affairs, he did. I don't care. Of course, you may be like an idiot I talked to a while back who claims, I'm sinless now because I'm saved. I'm sinless. I don't sin anymore. You want to bet? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God that what is God. So, unless you're looking to have a civil war in this country, and even if you don't like Trump, but you realize Kamala Harris is definitely a danger, you need to worry about who you're electing for the House of Representatives, the United States Senate, your local people in your town or township or cities or whatever you're in, or county, your state. You need to actually do something you maybe never did before. Look up every candidate and what they stand for, right down to the school board. If you are a responsible person, and too many Christians are being extremely pig-headed, stupid, just drives me want to spit. I'm not going to vote because I don't like any of them. Then you're worthless. You're useless. Go hide in your little stupid church that does nothing except sit there and talk about how great we are. You need to stand on the promises and not be sitting on the premises, which is what too many of you people do. And this is why the church is in trouble. Saw this other story. I can remember a time, 50 years ago, and historically 100 years ago, then, Lutheran pastors were generally Bible-believing people, but that has changed. The ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, that is not evangelical, it is not Christian, and it is no longer a church. It's an apostate satanic organization full of demons. Drew Stever, a female minister who identifies as a man. This is the kind of stuff going on. And this is what you're going to see more of if you allow the Democrats to get the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency. This is what you're ushering in. This is what you're telling me when you keep your fanny home and don't vote. You are implicitly saying, I'm good with this. I'm great with this. Lisa Lang of CBS Mornings told this Stever clown in a recent interview, there are a lot of people who say, according to the Bible, God made man and women. and that couldn't be any more defined. And this person says, of course not. That's not true. In other words, I'm going to just tell you that I'm just a blasphemer and I'm a theological idiot and I am trans, I'm a trans and I'm this and I'm, well, I'm retarded, let's be honest. Because I've given my heart over to demonic powers. And here's something that's, here's some good news, thankfully. Back in 2017, 68% of Protestants and 51% of Roman Catholics said an individual's gender is the same as birth sex. With all of this silliness and garbage being pushed on people, being pushed upon people, now it's 75% that of Protestants and 62% of Roman Catholics that believe your gender is the same as your birth sex. It's kind of backfiring. But then again, that's all the demonically possessed apostate evangelical Lutheran church in America has to offer. And accept that, well, you know, the Bible was written for then. It has no bearing today, means nothing today. Church of England, Episcopal Church, Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, all these are formerly, well, real church bodies that have spit in the face of Jesus, have grieved the Holy Spirit, have gone apostate and given God the finger and threw up in his face and curse at him. If you're in one of those churches, you better be getting out. You're not fixing it. You're not. You're never. If you're in the Episcopal Church, you cannot fix it. If you're in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it's dead. It is a rotting corpse. The Church of England, all of it. Presbyterian Church. USA, United Methodist. I don't care, but my local, no, your church, you're sending money to an apostate, demonically filled group of people that are Antichrist agents. So get over it. I'm tired of you get mad at me, but you've got to do something, people. We have today too many pastors that treat the church like a business. Instead of disciples, we have churches full of customers and fans. Churches are increasingly no longer hospitals for sinners in need of salvation and discipling. No, they're just consumers that need to be entertained to keep the business going. The Bible is so clear. How does today's uber-modern church, you know, fail so spectacularly in the face of growing evil? Because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to take a stand. They want to be able to wear their khakis and their sweater vest or whatever and act cool and be cowards. That's what they are. They're just cowards and entertainers. I mentioned this the other day, I know, but I belong to several what are called like groups in ministry. And I observe some I've joined just to be an observer. And one is called Small Church Media. You know, these little small churches that want to act like the big mega church and they want to have the praise band, the skinny jeans. And this one guy was saying, our budget is really small. So where can we get a really fancy light show machine and smoke machine and really loud, you know, pounding PA system? And then they want to stream it with an iPhone or something because the world is just craving the entertainment. And if they don't have this great light show and the smoke machine, there can be, well, it's just not church. Look, my little church, we stream. And yeah, there are some things I would like to do architecturally in the church to make it more functional, both as a local church and for the fact that I've got cameras in there that I try to make sure are not dominating everything. There's nothing wrong with trying to do it decently and in order, but when I'm doing this, this is not a theater. This is not a concert. with a little side of Jesus, we're dealing with some really important stuff here. Let me ask you this question. It's going to be the cowards that have capitulated to all the demonic influences that are just crushing our nation and the Western world. And who are the first that is going to, they're going to be tossed in that lake of fire? Those, the pastors of those weakling churches that are apostate, that are not standing up to evil, that are not calling it out. What is the first and great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. When you allow your neighbor to continue in damning sin, continuing in delusion, continuing in being apostate, you're not loving your neighbor, you're killing your neighbor. You're destroying your neighbor. And when I hear some pastor, did God really say? I can't. I'm sorry. Some of these pastors today have got the theology of Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, really. Or what was the other gal? Ellen. You know, remember her? Ellen DeGeneres or Degenerate? I can't. But you know what I'm talking about. Those churches are, in my opinion, they have become death traps. Death traps. They're nothing but highways to hell, synagogues of Satan, even if they got a cross out front and a stained glass window, maybe even a pipe organ, who knows? Or a rock band, doesn't matter. They are not preaching the gospel. They're nothing but clowns entertaining a building full of goats. They are not shepherds, good shepherds, caring for their sheep. They're fleecing the sheep and entertaining the goats. Where do you stand on some of these issues? It's a big question. I look at these news stories. You know, and if you want to get to some other stories about what's going on in the background, if you let the globalists win, if you stay home and don't vote, you know, there's an agenda out there. You know, some of these big ag companies that are globalist in nature, you know, there's a whole group of people trying to literally say, you shouldn't eat meat. They want to make meat eventually. Don't laugh at me. Don't think I'm crazy, but they want fake meat grown in labs. Our food supply is garbage compared to what it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago. The nutritional value is nil in a lot of the stuff that we buy. The good stuff is often processed out and substituted with things that aren't even good for us. And I recognize that even at my age, at 70. Why is it that I'm not as healthy as some 70-year-olds from 20 years ago? It's the garbage in the food, and it's getting harder to discern between all of it. We have choices to make. And there are a lot of things out there that are very disturbing. And we need to be aware. Number one, we need to be aware of the politics around us. Number two, as Christians, we need to stand up and call out what is wrong and not be cowards. And now my friend Frank Silvato will share some of the politics of today.
No fear, no political correctness, no wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Silvato, and you're spending a few minutes in Underground USA. One of the most pressing issues arising from the aftermaths of Hurricanes Helene and Milton, outside of the loss of life, immense damage, and pathetic response by the federal government, is this. the people most affected by the storm will have a very difficult time voting on November 5th, if that subject is even remotely on their radar at this point. One can hardly blame anyone who has lost everything they own for not keeping the issue of the election front and center as a priority. Even though the response from the federal government and some of the state governments has been insufficient and, in many cases, obstructive, it should be a significant issue in this election. However, a fact remains that can't be argued. The overwhelming number of counties affected by the storm paths were red voting counties. Population-wise, it's unclear whether the numbers of conservative, constitutionalists, and Republican voters affected will balance with the number of far-left and Democrat voters. But looking at the areas affected, there's a good chance there will be a deficit to the Democrats' advantage given the lopsided urban populations of Asheville and Winston-Salem in North Carolina, Augusta and Savannah in Georgia, and Tampa and St. Petersburg in Florida. In Georgia, Hurricane Helene's effects were felt across 53 counties. These counties predominantly voted conservative and Republican in the 2020 election, with 57.3% of the votes reflecting that fact. Likewise, North Carolina's western part includes heavily Republican counties that have been designated eligible for FEMA aid, indicating a level of devastation that will undoubtedly hinder the ability of those affected to cast ballots. In those locations, 51.6% of the vote in 2020 went for the conservative or Republican candidates. The physical destruction and logistical challenges in North Carolina, specifically, will directly affect voter turnout. Traditional polling stations are either inaccessible or non-existent. If mail-in ballots are delayed due to postal service disruptions, the vote in affected areas will be suppressed. While this might not change voter preference, it will reduce the overall number of votes cast for conservative candidates if those voters cannot vote. Given that these areas are predominantly conservative in nature, the lower voter turnout will disadvantage conservative, constitutionalist, and Republican candidates. And even though emergency voting measures have been implemented in many election authority jurisdictions throughout the affected areas, there is no guarantee that they'll be adequately effective. Today, the election results and the entirety of the general election nationally could be affected by these disasters. That is, unless the rest of the electorate in the affected areas and or enough voters across the country turn out to compensate for the disenfranchisement, ensuring that the good people of Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, and Northern Georgia are represented at the ballot box in the exercise of their constitutional rights to vote. Today, the immediate need for the people affected by these storms is material and physical aid and assistance. I've consistently posted links to credible organizations, all with high ratings by CharityNavigator.org, Samaritan's Purse, the Salvation Army, the Cajun Navy Relief, Mercury One, and if you're an animal lover, Best Friends Animal Society. They're all doing great work in the affected areas. But tomorrow is a completely different issue. Tomorrow, in the context of November 5th's general election, has ramifications well beyond the immediate future. In fact, it has ramifications for decades to come, given the massive rebuilding efforts that will have to be undertaken in the affected areas, and the incredible efforts it will take to keep the dark claws of organizations like BlackRock and Vanguard from swooping in and exploiting the disaster for their benefit by gobbling up land appropriated through government land acquisition sleight of hand. That means that another avenue of benevolence has opened up. Out of the ashes, another way has been created to help our fellow neighbors. If you're disgusted by today's politics, and who isn't, you may be tempted to sit out this election. Some sources have as many as 31% of conservative Christians indicating that they will forego casting a ballot in this upcoming election.
102 million people of faith, including 32 million regular Christian churchgoers, are expected to abstain from voting in November's elections. That's according to Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center, which found significantly lower voter enthusiasm compared to 2020. Dr. George Barna, the Research Center director, explained, Christian church-going voters have historically supported the more conservative major party candidate in a presidential race and appear poised to do so again this election cycle, albeit with fewer of them casting a ballot than in the most recent presidential race. It used census data to project possible totals. Those who said they aren't going to vote gave multiple reasons. 48% said they believe the election would be rigged, 57% said they dislike all major candidates, and 50% said the election has become too controversial for their liking. Dr. Barna stated, in 2020, the margins of victory were a combined 587,000 votes or so in nine battleground states. In that context, the 32 million Christians sitting in the pews each week who refuse to vote are a game changer.
Many undecided and independent voters are considering doing the same. But now those voters have a reason. You have a reason. Steeped in benevolence for your fellow Americans, for your neighbors, to get to the polls and cast a ballot. To help represent someone who can't cast a vote because of a disaster and an inadequate response from the very federal emergency management agencies who take our tax dollars to execute that mission. As previously stated, those affected by the storms and who will be disenfranchised from voting vote overwhelmingly conservative. They vote predominantly for Republican candidates. So, in the names of the disenfranchised, if you care to help those who cannot do for themselves, show up at the polls on November 5th, or preferably to vote early, and cast your votes for the conservative, constitutional, or Republican candidates in their place. North Carolina and Georgia are critical swing states, and the storm's devastation will debilitate local voter turnout for the November 5th general election. The storm's impact will present both physical and logistical challenges, not to mention challenges to the vote counting and certification efforts. But it doesn't have to be the case. Not if those still on the fence about voting use benevolence as a motivation to cast a ballot in representing those who are forbidden from voting for themselves for no fault of their own. If enough states go red, we can compensate for the loss of votes resulting from these natural disasters, rendering them electorally moot. My name is Frank Salvato, and you can read all my articles and listen to the podcasts at undergroundusa.com. Now back to Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Well, thank you, Frank, for sharing that with our audience here today. Tomorrow, I want to spend some time on this program, not so much in news stories per se, but in understanding the battle in which we are fighting. And it truly is a battle. You may not see it. The mainstream media doesn't want you to see it. They want you to think that, oh, we just have to do this to protect democracy and some other, you know, wonderful platitudes and nonsense. But there has been a gradual, systematic war against the family, against young people, against your freedom, your finances, your faith, and your family, all of it. And too many of you, it's like the old saying about the frog, throw him in boiling water, he'll jump out, but warm the water up gradually and you'll be able to boil him to death. And that is what's been happening in the United States today. And I really believe that, and I'm going to be the church. Too much of the church, or what thinks it's the church, has been a total and absolute train wreck, dumpster fire, and failure. and it needs to be changed now. Either you are for God or you're against God. Either you are in His Word or you condemn His Word. And I'm going to get into that tomorrow. I've had enough with these fake, fraudulent, phony Christians, these apostate churches, these freaks running around in rainbow stoles and all the stuff that goes with it, more concerned about is Johnny gay or is Jill really a boy or whatever other nonsense they're into. Oh yeah, and save the planet. It's all about climate change. We need your support to stay on radio. If you still believe in what we're doing, visit the website truth2ponder.com. You can support us using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, 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 Virginia 24319. That zip code again, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.